We turn again to Luke chapter 12 tonight. We'll begin reading this time at verse 29, and we'll read through verse 48. Luke 12, verse 29. "And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Then Peter said unto him, "Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." We read God's word that far. The text we consider together tonight is verse 31, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, what do we seek? What do we search for? What do we strive after, and what do we pursue? According to the passage that we read, the nations of the world seek what they will eat and what they will drink and what they will put on their bodies. But what do we seek? Do we also seek what the nations of the world seek? Food and drink, clothing and pleasure, and the things of here below? What do we seek? Do we seek rather what the Lord Jesus Christ sought? Because when he came into our flesh and came into this world, he sought the kingdom of God. He did that throughout his whole life and through his ministry, and also and especially at the end of his life by his suffering and death on the cross. He sought the kingdom of God. That's what we remembered and celebrated this morning in the Lord's Supper, especially by His blood and by His righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ laid the foundation of the kingdom of God. The foundation. And on that foundation, He now builds up the kingdom. He does so now from His lofty position at the right hand of God the Father. And soon He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and also to perfect the kingdom of God when He inaugurates it in its perfected form in the new heavens and earth. Christ sought the kingdom of God. He sought it to such an extent that He laid down His life for that kingdom to establish it. What do we seek? As those who have been engrafted into Jesus Christ, what do we seek? Our calling as Christians and citizens of the kingdom of God is simply this, beloved. Seek the kingdom of God. We take as the theme of the sermon tonight, seeking the kingdom of God. And we notice, first of all, the meaning of that calling. Secondly, the manner of it. And then the incentive. What is the idea of seeking, after all? Seeking could be defined in various ways. I will give three ways that we could define the idea of seeking. Seeking is, first of all, a searching for something in order to find it. In the second place, seeking can refer to a striving after a certain goal in order to accomplish it. Or, in the third place, seeking could be a zealous pursuing of some object as the object of one's love and deep affection. Now, in the text, the Lord Jesus has all of these in mind, but He no doubt has especially in mind that third idea, pursuing zealously something as the object of my deepest love and affection. Seeking. And when He speaks of seeking the kingdom of God, for our purposes tonight, we can understand that to mean the church of God. Now, the kingdom of God and church of God are not identical concepts. And both of those concepts in Scripture carry a different shade of meaning along with it. But they are so closely related that we can basically identify them tonight. And for our purposes, we do that. When the Lord says, seek the kingdom of God in the text, this is what we are to think. Seek the church of God. When He says seek, He means seek as the ultimate goal of your life. He means seek in the supreme and highest possible sense of the word. He means be fully absorbed in the kingdom or church of God. Now let me try to illustrate that. Imagine a man of the world who is a sports enthusiast. This man seeks sports. Sports is the highest end and purpose and goal of his life. He seeks it with everything that is in him. It's all that he can think about is sports. All that he can talk about is sports. Sports is constantly on his mind. He watches ESPN religiously. He lives and breathes Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, or perhaps he prefers college sports and follows the NCAA. His children are all fully involved in sports to the fullest possible extent. Everything in his life revolves around sports. Everything in his life seems to serve the end of sports. Everything bends to sports everything, in fact, even bows the knee to sports. Sports is his greatest goal. Sports is something that he seeks with all of his life. Everything serves the goal of the enjoyment through playing or watching of sports. Now that is what Jesus has in mind in the text. But not in regard to sports. He has that in mind in regard to the kingdom of God. Seek it as the greatest goal of your life in such a way that your whole life revolves around the kingdom of God. Now, to clarify that and to prove that from the text, let us recognize the object of this seeking, and the Lord points out, by way of contrasting two different objects, that this is what he means by seeking, namely, that we seek this as the ultimate pursuit of our life. He makes a contrast between two objects. In verse 29, he says, "Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink." Not that. Rather, in our text, verse 31, rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. So he presents these as two possible objects of our seeking. What we shall eat and drink, on the one hand, or the kingdom of God, on the other hand. Now, Jesus does not mean by this that we ought to quit our jobs, that we ought to stop trying to make a paycheck, that we ought to give up this whole seeking of food and drink business, and that we ought to seek the kingdom instead. That is not what he means. Now, it is true, of course, that is what Jesus himself did. For 30 or so years, he worked in the trades. He worked for his earthly father, Joseph, as a carpenter in Nazareth, building houses and buildings, and he was busy with his hands for about 30 years. But then he quit his job. He quit that work and he began to seek the kingdom of God exclusively. He did that through his life, through his teaching and ministry, and especially by his sacrificial death on the cross at the end of his life. He sought the kingdom of God and established it in his blood and righteousness. But the Lord Jesus Christ was on a special mission from heaven. He was on a mission to establish the kingdom of God. And therefore, we may not do likewise. We may not quit our jobs and say that we are going to devote ourselves to the kingdom of God in that sense of the word. In this case, the phrase that was popular a few years ago and perhaps is still popular does not apply. I mean the phrase, "What would Jesus do?" That phrase does not apply in this case. We may not follow Jesus' example in the sense of giving up our jobs and saying that we are seeking the kingdom. It is also true that the apostles did that very thing. The apostles, they had various occupations. Some of them were fishermen. One was a tax collector, and others had other occupations and callings. And the Lord called them to forsake that work, to quit those secular and earthly vocations, and to devote themselves to the kingdom of God fully and exclusively. And they did so through the preaching of the gospel, through the baptizing of believers in all of the world. But again, the apostles too were called by Christ himself to a special mission to spread the kingdom through their preaching and teaching. And today, not all men are called to that special work. Only the minister of the gospel is called to forsake any kind of earthly vocation and to devote himself to the kingdom in that sense. The Lord is not saying in the text that we must quit our jobs and stop seeking food and drink in that sense. What then does he mean? He means, as has already been stated, that we must not seek food and drink as the highest end of man. as the ultimate goal of our life. And the same thing goes for any earthly thing. When he says, do not seek what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, he means do not seek food and drink. Do not seek eating and drinking. Do not seek money. Do not seek pleasure. Do not seek entertainment. Do not seek amusement. Do not seek fun and fame and anything that this world has to offer as an end in itself. As the ultimate goal and highest purpose of your life. But seek the kingdom of God. He means precisely this. Seek the kingdom of God in and through all of the stations of life that you occupy. As a father and mother. As a husband or wife. As an employer or employee. As a teacher or student. As a ruler or citizen, whatever station of life you occupy, in whatever sphere of life you are living and acting, in the state, in the workplace, in the home, in the school, and in every sphere of life in this world, seek the kingdom of God in that sphere. And seek the kingdom as your highest goal of life. You recall that sports enthusiast I mentioned earlier. We ought to seek the kingdom as that man seeks sports. That is, our whole life revolves around the kingdom of God. Everything in our life serves the kingdom of God. Everything in our life bends to the kingdom of God. And everything in our life bows to the kingdom of God. This is the centerpiece of our life. This is our greatest joy. So that we would say, as the Jews in Babylon said in Psalm 137, if I forget Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its cunning. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, what a marvelous thing. The Jews in captivity, they realized when they lost it, how precious the kingdom was. The Lord indicates that this is an ongoing calling as well. The verb seek in the original Greek is in the present tense, which means be seeking. Be always seeking. Not in the sense that we must search for the kingdom of God. And once we have found the kingdom of God, we no longer need to seek it. We must never be of the mindset, beloved, that we have arrived. That we have found the kingdom of God. That we are in the kingdom of God. And that there is no more seeking that needs to be done. The seeking process is finished. Not so. The seeking process is an ongoing kind of thing. As I pointed out, search for it, strive to accomplish a certain goal, pursue it as the greatest object of your love and affection. Seek the kingdom of God when you are a child, also as a young person, as an adult, and also when your hairs turn gray. Seek the kingdom of God early in the morning when you wake up and throughout the day and also when you go to bed at night. Seek the kingdom of God constantly. But how do we do that? It is good from the pulpit to be very concrete and to lay out the manner now in which we seek the kingdom of God. That is, to be more specific. And let me make 4 points tonight in regard to the manner of seeking God's kingdom. In the first place, this seeking is a searching for the kingdom of God in order to find it. It is a searching for the true manifestation of the kingdom of God in the midst of the world. That first of all. The kingdom of God is not an earthly kingdom. It is not a visible kingdom. We cannot look on a map of the world and say, there's the kingdom of God, I have found it, I no longer need to look for it. The kingdom of God is invisible. It is essentially spiritual and heavenly, and therefore it is something that needs to be sought. Something that needs to be looked for. Now that kingdom does become visible. It does manifest itself in the world. And therefore we are called to search for it. Jesus told these parables in Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price that must be sought and found and purchased. The kingdom of God must be searched for. That is to say, we must search in this present world for the true church of Jesus Christ. We must search in this world constantly, constantly be searching for the church which preaches the pure gospel of the kingdom. The church which purely administers the sacraments of the kingdom. The church which faithfully exercises the keys of the kingdom, Christian discipline. And that church where the kingdom of God is manifested in the midst of the world, we must search for, we must find, and we must join ourselves to it. That, in the first place, is how we seek the kingdom of God. And so, you young people, you have that calling. The calling to seek the kingdom and to join yourselves to the kingdom now in this present life by means of the confession of your faith. And when you do so, then you can partake with us in this sacrament of Holy Communion as you saw it administered this morning. In the second place, this seeking of the kingdom is a striving for the goal of the coming of the kingdom. A striving after that goal, the full realization of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has an already and a not yet aspect. Already the kingdom of God has come. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, and through His life and through His death, by His blood and righteousness, He laid the foundation of the kingdom at the cross that we celebrated this morning. Already the Lord Jesus, from His lofty position at the right hand of God, has caused the kingdom to come through 2,000 years of history in the gathering of His elect people out of darkness and into His marvelous light. But there's a not yet aspect. Not yet has the kingdom fully come. Not yet have all of the citizens been brought into the walls of Zion. Not yet have all of them been born. Not yet have all of them been converted. Not yet has Christ returned. And not yet has He inaugurated the perfected kingdom in the new heavens and earth. Therefore, seeking the kingdom involves a lively, vibrant interest in the coming of the kingdom. And that in two particular respects. First of all, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom in the local church and on the mission field. seeking the kingdom means striving after that goal of the faithful and pure preaching of the gospel here in this congregation and also on the mission fields, a lively interest in that preaching and a support of that preaching. In the second place, it involves also the training up of the children of the kingdom. And that in the home and also in the Christian school. There ought to be a lively interest in, a striving after the goal of the training and teaching of the children of the kingdom. That too is the way that God causes His kingdom to come. And so seeking the kingdom involves the support of these great causes. And when I say support, I do not merely mean that we sit down and write a check to the general fund to support the ministry of the gospel in this congregation, or that we write a check to Heritage Christian School or one of the other schools, or that we write a check for the foreign or domestic mission fund, as we collected for tonight, but also our prayers. In our homes, and our beds at night, in our family devotions, here in the worship services, our constant prayers for the coming of the kingdom. In this way we seek the kingdom. Also by the giving of our time, the giving of our efforts, the giving of ourselves to serve one another, the encouragement of the missionaries, maybe by visiting a mission field if we are able to do that. Otherwise, by writing an email or a letter to the missionary and encouraging them in that lofty and important work. Praying for the coming of the kingdom. In the third place, this seeking of the kingdom is the zealous pursuit of the kingdom of God as the object of our love and affection. Is the kingdom of God, beloved, the object of your love and affection? That in the third place. That merchant man in the parable of Jesus sold everything that he had to buy that pearl of great price. No cost was too great. The kingdom of God, seeking the kingdom of God, is pursuing it in that way. Think of a young man who pursues a young woman. The young woman is the object of his affection. And he pursues her. He constantly pursues her. Think of a husband with his wife. And his wife is the object of his love and his tender affection. And he pursues his wife. Doesn't a faithful husband pursue his wife as long as they both shall live? He pursues her. He seeks her. Because he loves her. That's what it is like in the seeking of the kingdom of God. It is a zealous, heartfelt pursuit of the kingdom because I love it. The seeking of the kingdom is coming to the worship services on the Sabbath day and coming because we want to be there. We want to join our fellow citizens. We want to join our hearts and our voices together in one song of praise to the King. We want to listen to the word of our King. We want to engage in dialogue with our King. We want to be in the house of our God and Father, the King. The seeking of the kingdom means that we have a lively interest in all of the important events that go on in the kingdom. As a citizen of the United States, we take a keen interest in the important events that go on in our country. But as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, that's our greatest identity. We take a lively interest in the important events of the kingdom. That includes all kinds of events in the church of Jesus Christ. That includes Bible society. It means seeking the kingdom does, that we want to be there with our fellow citizens of our congregation to open the word of the King, to discuss, to share, to have fellowship with each other. It includes the fellowship events that we engage in as congregations, like our Chinese dinner a few days ago or a week ago. What a wonderful and beautiful event that was for us to come together as citizens of the kingdom. We're seeking the kingdom. We're not only coming so that we can have some fun, that too, but we're coming so that we can have fellowship with our fellow saints. We're seeking the kingdom. That includes our church picnic, the picnic that's coming up. It includes our witnessing workshop this summer. It includes all of the important and significant events that go on in the life of the congregation. Seeking the kingdom means pursuing it zealously as the object of my love. Not because I must, not because there is some legalistic code of precepts that I have to follow, and if it's not on that list, then I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to be involved in it. Nothing like that. It's that I love the kingdom, and I want to be involved in the life of the kingdom. Choir programs, singspirations, and all of the rest. And in the fourth place, and I add this too, seeking the kingdom is a striving to live as a citizen of the kingdom in this present time. That too is how we seek the kingdom of God. The Lord does say, after all, seek ye the kingdom of God. God's kingdom. And therefore it is implied, do not seek the kingdom of the world. Do not seek the kingdom of man. Do not seek the devil's kingdom. Do not be straying out into the world and enjoying and indulging in the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses refused to do that. Even though he was brought up in the house of Pharaoh, he refused to do that. He chose rather to suffer with the people of God, to suffer with them, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Do not seek the kingdom of the devil. That means put off the old man with his deeds. Seeking the kingdom of the devil means allowing vice and sin to be nurtured in our hearts and souls, allowing it to grow, allowing it to take root, allowing anger and envy and revenge, bitterness and strife to simmer in our hearts. It involves a hardening of the heart. It involves a hatred of the neighbor, even of fellow citizens in the kingdom. Put off the old man. Strive not to live as a citizen of the kingdom of the devil. Not that. The citizens of the kingdom of the devil do not think they need to forgive their neighbors. They do not think that they are ever wrong. They are proud. Seek the kingdom of God means put on the new man. Means strive to live as a citizen of the kingdom. And how is a citizen of the kingdom described? Turn to Matthew 5 and look at the Beatitudes. That's the citizen of the kingdom. Meek, poor in spirit, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, persecuted for righteousness' sake. Put on the new man. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. And it means putting off the lusts of the flesh as well. If that internet on your cell phone or on your tablet is too much of a temptation, then get rid of it. Throw it in the garbage. Or at least get the internet taken off of it. It's useless to you then. What did the Lord say? If your right hand offends you, cut it off. Just cut it off. If your right eye offends you, pluck it out of your head and cast it away from you. It's no good. Even though the eye itself is a good means, even though your hand is a good thing, even though the iPad and the cell phone may be fine in themselves, If you cannot use it rightly, throw it away. Seek the kingdom of God. That's our calling as citizens of the kingdom. As those who this morning have partaken the broken body and shed blood of Christ. Strengthen. Strengthen as we fed upon that sacrament. That's our calling. Now do not say tonight, beloved, that you don't have time for that. Do not say that you're too busy in your life to be seeking the kingdom. I know that we're busy, but never too busy to seek the kingdom. And we seek the kingdom, remember, in our current station of life. We don't change that, but we seek the kingdom in that station of life. But do not say, I am too busy to seek the kingdom. Never too busy. And the Lord even adds an incentive for us, because He knows that by nature we are tempted to seek the things of this earth. And on the one hand, we are tempted because we worry. We worry about putting food on the table, paying our bills, and so forth. But on the other hand, we are tempted to make idols of the pleasures of this world. And so He leaves us an incentive and says, all these things shall be added unto you. All of these things shall be thrown in for good measure, so to speak. They'll be thrown in. Don't worry about them. Don't seek them. They'll be thrown in. Just go about your labors. Now, what are all these things? All these things in the text refer to the things mentioned in the context, namely, the things that we need in this present life, the things mainly of the body. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall put on our bodies, our clothing, where we will lay down our heads tonight, on our beds and pillows, the shelter over our heads. Also, what we need to do this week, which hopefully we have not been pondering during the sermon tonight, but the things that we need to do this week, the labors that are set before us, those things. All of those things shall be added. Seek the kingdom, and all of these things shall be added. Now, when He says all these things, of course, He does not mean that all of the things that we deem necessary He will give to us. All of the things that we think we need, not that. In our minds, we call a lot of things necessities. We say, I need this and I need that, but really we're trapped by the concept of the standard of living of our own culture, which our own culture has set for us and told us. Well, we don't need those things. All we need is bread and water. I reminded myself of that this afternoon. When I found out what we were having for lunch this afternoon, my initial response was, oh. And then I reminded myself, oh, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You don't need roast beef. You don't need turkey. You don't need ham. You don't need any of that. All you need is bread. That's it. How ashamed of myself I was, too. Ashamed of myself. All I need is a bun and a cup of water. That's all I need. And that's what the Lord promises when He says, all these things shall be added to you. All these things. He doesn't mean that He will make us rich. He doesn't even mean that He will give us all these things. Always. Maybe it's His pleasure not even to give me bread and water. Maybe. Maybe it's His good pleasure to give me a trial of poverty and persecution. Maybe. And we know that it's His will that eventually I will die. So all these things will be taken away at some point. But He gives us this as an incentive. Seek the kingdom of God as your highest goal in your life, as the greatest pursuit. And all of this will be taken care of. Don't put your heart on it. It will be taken care of. It will be added to you. And that means that our gracious Heavenly Father will give it to us. He will bestow it upon us through His providential care and government. And He will give us exactly what He has determined we need. Exactly. And for as long as He has determined we need it. And notice, these things shall be added unto you. That is a promise. Shall be added. That's where he does take away our worries and our concerns. Not these things might be added unto you if you pray real hard or work real hard, but these things shall be added to you. So don't worry about it. Seek the kingdom. Don't worry about what you shall eat and drink. Be absorbed in the kingdom. Absorbed in it. So that your whole life revolves around it. So that everything bends to it. So that everything serves it. Nothing else stands in the way of your life in the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God, beloved. And all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast chosen us as citizens of this kingdom. We confess that we have weaknesses, but we do love that kingdom. And we do long to seek it. Grant that we might do so, and that as we go forth in the week to come, we might give ourselves to the pursuit of Thy kingdom. For as long as we live in the midst of this world, unto the glory of Thy name, through Jesus we pray. Amen.